I want to speak to you for a few minutes about that title, Children of God. Children of God. God is a God of many, many blessings to us, isn't he? I trust you know and understand that this morning. His blessings to us are so many that we cannot even count them. They surround us in every aspect of our lives. Children are just one of the blessings from the Lord amidst so many others. We've already quoted from Psalm 127, which says that children, it describes them as a heritage or an inheritance from the Lord. It uses a word, inheritance, specifically that you might use to describe something handed down from one generation to another. Maybe you ladies, you've got a string of pearls tucked away somewhere that was your grandmother's or something like that. They were passed down to your mother and then to you. Or maybe something else, maybe an old gold watch for you fellows or something like that, or a precious vase. Something that's yours, that is very valuable, and then you hope to pass on as an inheritance. Well, that's the word that the Lord uses to describe children, as an inheritance from God. They're his. They're valuable to him. And yet he passes them into our lives, entrusts them to us. And how valuable they are. We mustn't miss the spiritual importance of giving thanks to God for our children and our grandchildren and for others' children as well in the fellowship. God should make us so thankful to his gift to us as a fellowship, to the world, and specifically to our families. We know that the Lord loves children. We saw it in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He welcomed children to him. He took them in his arms. He blessed them. Others tried to send the children away, but the Lord Jesus Christ didn't do that. He welcomed them. He loves children. All through the Bible. In fact, God calls his people, the ones that follow him, he calls them his little ones, his special ones, his children. His people are his children. And God is still seeking for children of God. But what do I mean by that phrase? We're giving thanks for our children, but what does it mean to be a child of God? Is every child born already a child of God or not? What does it mean? Many people talk about children of God, don't they? But what does it mean? Well, to be a child of God, it means to have the characteristics or some of the characteristics of God within you. Just as children have characteristics of their parents. Our kids are children of us, of mother and father. They have our genes, our DNA. I'm quite pleased to have given Natasha some of my DNA, and I'm really quite worried and nervous about some of the other DNA I've given her. That's not really so great. But she has it. She is from us. They're in our line. They're descendants of not just parents, but grandparents too. They've got the grandparents' DNA and genes in there. Yeah, mum and dad, that's scary as well. But they've got some of your DNA in there as well. Because that's just what happens. They're our children. There's just no doubt that little Christian there has got some of Dave's face in him. It's just there. We can see it, Dave. And I'm told that Natasha has my chin. I'm sad about that, but I'm told she does. They just have our DNA. They are our children with characteristics. And some of our poor traits as well, I'm sure. But if these children have our traits, they're our children. Children of God are those who have some characteristics of God in their heart and in their life. We want the best for our children. One of the greatest things we can want would be for them to have some of the characteristics, not just of us, but of God in them. To be children of God. And for you, you've got the characteristics of your parents in you. But to have some of the characteristics and the qualities of God in your soul, to be a child of God, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Wouldn't that be a life and an eternal transforming thing? The Christian message is about that. The Christian message is about children of God. It shows the warmth of God's heart that he wants people to be his children. In fact, all the way through the Bible, there are these terms about family relationship. All the way through. In the New Testament, over and over again, the phrase is used, children of God, to explain to us exactly who they are and exactly what they're like. And I would really hope that by the end of this message this morning, all of us would be really clear what the children of God are, who they are, how we become children of God. So I'm going to pick out a few of those phrases in the Bible that describe the children of God and see if we can be clear in our minds. Here's the first one. We are not children of God by natural birth. There's a verse, look, from Romans 9, verse 8. It is not the natural children who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. Paul is saying it doesn't matter who you're born to, or what race, or what background, or what creed, or culture. You're not naturally God's child just by being born. That's not the way that people become God's children, just by being a human being. Now, you might argue, well, but hasn't God made all human beings? Well, he has. That's certainly true. God has brought them to life. We can't claim much credit for that, really, can we? Life is way beyond us. We can try and work some of it out, but we just can't understand. It's beyond our best minds. We were talking with one of our doctors while Tanya was pregnant, and the doctor claimed that he didn't believe in God at all. He didn't believe in any superior being. But then I said, well, how do you explain life? His answer was, I don't know, it's a miracle. He doesn't believe in any supreme being, but he believes life is a miracle. He studied at college. He's a practice as a doctor. He knows all about reproduction and procreation and all these cells and all this. But he knows life is a miracle, even though he can't explain any supreme maker. Of course life is a miracle. It's supernatural. It's of the supernature. My nature's not super. It's flawed. It's human. God's nature is supernatural. God, who is our maker, he has all information. He is the designer of all DNA. He knows all mysteries. He's fathomed all the wonders of the world. And he's breathed life into human souls, these babies, and into yours. So yes, he's made us, of course. But when we read in the Bible about his special children, the Bible talks in more precise terms. You know, you're not just God's child by being born. And the reason we know that is because many people who have had natural birth, talks about natural children, doesn't it? Well, we're all natural children here. There are billions of natural children in the world, but not all of them have a relationship with God, do they? You know that, and I know that. But we want to have relationships with our children. Vic and Dave haven't put Christian in a little shed at the back of their garden and left him there and never seen him for the last 3.5 weeks. They want to have relationships. He lives in the house with them. He's special to them. And Natasha to us as well. We want relationship. You can't be a child of God if there's no relationship with God. So natural birth, although it is from God in that sense, although he has made us, it doesn't qualify us for special child of God relationship. There are highlights in these days of us having children, of talking and playing with our kids. And God wants to have those moments of talking and relating. We need to be children of the promise. You see, it says that there. The children of the promise. People who trust in God's promises and his goodness. They're the children of God. Not just those who are born naturally. So that's one thing that's very clear from the Bible. Second thing, John tells us that it's something we must become. There's got to be a beginning, look. It's something that we must become. Here's the verse from 1 John chapter 1. John's Gospel, chapter 1. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become, there's the word, children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. There must be a beginning. To be born, to be in the world, you've got to have a birth. Every single one of you had a birth. I'm hoping some of them were slightly less painful than ours. But we all had a birth. There must be a beginning. And so it's true with the children of God. Now, I said already that this is not a humanizing ceremony for these two, because they're already very, very human, our Christian and Natasha. It would be madness for us to try and humanize them. They were human from the first moment that they were born. Dave and I weren't too impressed with the colour that they were the moment they were born, were we, Dave? That kind of bluey, purpley colour that kind of makes you think that really, are they human at all? But after a few seconds, there is a breath and there is a scream and whew, they are human. But even though they don't look it, just for those first few seconds. But they are human. These two are different. They're human in all their diversity. We've got a boy and we've got a girl. When Christian has his bath, he loves having his bath on his body. He hates having his hair washed. Natasha's the other way around. She loves having her hair washed. You'd think she's in the seventh heaven. But you try and bath her body, she screams the place down. They're different. They're human beings. They have their diversity. They're already human. They've had their human beginning, so we don't need to make them human. To be a child of God, says John, you've got to become one. You've got to have a start. You've got to have a beginning. You've got to become a child of God. And the Lord loves to make people his children. He loves to give them that beginning. But it's not the same as a human beginning. You've got to become a child of God. Have a birth. Have a new beginning in relationship with him. In personal dealings with him. Every relationship had to have a start. And our relationship as children of God starts when we begin to relate to him as our maker and our father. As our Lord and our Saviour, and as we speak seriously with him and have dealings and interchange with him. Don't assume this morning that you're a child of God if you have no dealings with him. Children love their father, and fathers love their children. We need to have a beginning. Here's another thing. It's something fabulous to become. Please don't think this is a drag. We're not talking about something that's going to really weigh your life down. Look at this wonderful verse. It's only a short one, but it's great. Paul writes it in Romans chapter 8. Look, he describes the glorious freedom of the children of God. Or the freedom of the glory of the children of God would perhaps be better. The glory of the children of God. To be a child of God is to have some glorious things in your veins and in your life and in your soul and in your breath and in all your days. To have freedom and glory and wonder and awe. To be a child of God, well, it's something wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. That's a little bit different than the kind of modern idea of God is a drag that you sometimes hear people talk about. It's glorious to be a child of God. Absolutely glorious. No small matter. All kinds of blessings and freedoms come when you become a child of God. It's a wonderful thing to become. Now, there are places in our houses that not many people get to go. Our little sort of special places, aren't there? Vic and Dave have a nice music studio in their home. And not very many people get to go into their music studio. If you've been in there, you're amongst the elite. It's a precious place. Dave's got lots of nice fancy kits and there's all kinds of... Christian's been in there. I know it, hasn't he? He's been in there while Dave's been playing the drums as well. He found it quite soothing. Don't ask me how that works, but he found it quite soothing. He gets to go in there because he's got the glorious freedom of being a child of their family. And Natasha's been in my study. And trust me, not many people get to go in there with all the books. And she's been in there. She's not read any of the books yet. You know, we tried on Calvin in the first week, but it didn't quite work. But she's been in there. Of course she can go in. She's my daughter. And she can go in those places. And there are freedoms and blessings. I'm just using those as illustrations. Imagine then having the blessings of all the gracious provision of God. Imagine having that. What a fabulous thing. All the wonders that he gives to us. We sang these words just a few minutes ago. Just listen to these again. I'll read them. We sang it in the song just now. My heart is filled with thankfulness to him who walks beside. Who floods my weaknesses with strength and causes fears to fly, whose every promise is enough for every step I take, sustaining me with arms of love and crowning me with grace. Aren't they wonderful blessings? Wouldn't you love to have someone walking beside you through every step of life, filling all your weaknesses, flooding them with strength? Crowning your life with grace. These are blessings, glorious freedoms of the child of God. And the context in which Paul uses this little phrase is talking about the whole of creation. He actually says that the whole of creation, this world, this planet on which we live, longs to have that. That's kind of the other way around than we normally imagine it. Think of all the great things there are out there in the world that you long for. You might think, well, I'd love to have, I don't know, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon in my backyard. I'd love to have a pot of gold. I'd love to go and sit on a Mediterranean beach and enjoy that. There are nice things in the world that we like to enjoy. Well, in this chapter, Paul turns it on its head and says the whole globe, the planet, the universe would long to have the glorious blessings and freedom the children of God have. Because they're special and personal and gracious and wonderful. How great to be a child of God. It's something fabulous to become. Children of God stand out. That's the next point. Here's a verse from Philippians. Again, Paul's writing this. That you may become blameless and pure, children of God, look, without faults in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. Why do stars shine out in the sky on a cloudless night? Well, there are two reasons, aren't there, that stars shine out and you can see them. Number one, because the sky is very dark. And number two, because they are full of light. Would you agree with me that the world is full of darkness, isn't it? I think Paul's description is right. A crooked and depraved generation. Just this week, a man in Montreal, just who lives very close to where Tanya's sister lives in Montreal, just walked into a college, didn't he, with his gun and shot 20 people. Terrible, terrible world in which we live. All kinds of devastation and fear and pain and bloodshed and war and hurt, isn't there, in our world? And in a world like that, the children of God, they stand out. Look. They stand out like stars in the universe because they have the characteristics of God, some of them in their hearts and souls. And God is light. God has light and hope to shine into the world. To say to children when they're born into the world, yes, there's lots of miseries, yes, there's lots of sorrows, yes, there's lots of dangers, but God, when He is your hope, blessed are those whose God is the Lord, because you will always have hope, and God will be with you. And we can say to the children, even when your face is full of pain and anger and tears and guilt and sorrow, the Lord sees your heart and still loves you. Children of God, precious to Him. Being a child of God will make you different, because your eyes will be on your Father in heaven. You know, I can tell when Natasha is listening to me, and it's nothing to do with her ears, because you can't tell when somebody's ears are picking things up. I can tell when Natasha is listening to me, because her eyes look at me. It's interesting, that, isn't it? Sometimes I'm speaking to her. We've been practicing. I've been speaking to her every day since week 20 in the womb. Every day, talking to her, getting her used to my voice so she doesn't fall asleep in the sermons, you know. And getting her used to my voice. But the only sort of result of that is my voice is now so soporific, she often does fall asleep. So it kind of backfired on her. But anyway, she recognizes my voice. She's only 10 minutes old and she recognized my voice already. Because she'd been used to it. She'd been listening to it all through the pregnancy. And sometimes when I speak to her, her eyes open really bright wide and she stares at me. She's probably not listening to me really, just fascinated my glasses or something like that. But anyway, I think she's listening to me. She looks me straight in the eye and her eyes are on her father and we have a little chat. She doesn't say much back at the moment, but she will later. She's listening to me because her eyes are on her father. And children of God, their eyes are upon the Lord. And we listen to Him, and we look to Him, and we look for His glory. And so children of God stand out in this universe. They stand out, and they carry His light wherever they go. We'd love for these two children to stand out at something, wouldn't we? We'd love them to stand out maybe at sport. Dave's quite a football player. Maybe Christian will stand out at football or rugby. Maybe he'll play the flute like Vic, or the drums like Dave. Or they're quite hoping he plays keyboard, so they can have a nice little sort of trio going in there. We're hoping that Natasha will stand out, I don't know, maybe at ballet or at art or at people skills or academic work or generosity of spirit or something. We're hoping that they'll stand out. Friends, what better way to stand out than to shine like a star in the universe, giving people light and hope? What better way? Children of God, stand out like that. We need a few more of those in our world, don't you think? Children of God, stand out. Number five, there are signs that show who the children of God are. You can know who they are. I've quoted three verses here. They all mention signs. Look, this is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. And then John goes on, this is how we know we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. And then Paul writes in Romans, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. I was hearing on the radio yesterday that we don't get to choose our DNA. It's imprinted on us from thousands and thousands of generations. A guy was doing a test on the radio yesterday about whether the radio presenter's DNA, whether it was Celtic DNA, whether it was Viking DNA, or whether it was Germanic DNA. And he did this test on his DNA right there in the radio program and gave the result by the end. And he was able to say what his sort of great ancestors were, just from looking at his DNA. Amazing, isn't it? It gets handed down. We don't choose it. It is imprinted on us. Well, God, who is the father of his children, he gets to say what the signs of his children are. You can't just say, well, I'm a child of God because I think this. God decides what the signs and the marks are of a child of God. And here's what they are. People who practice righteousness, doing what is right. People who love the other children of God in God's family, in the church. It's so important we love each other. It's a sign and mark that we're children of God. If we don't love the brethren, if we don't love people, the people of God, then we're not the children of God. And then knowing his witness, the witness of his spirit in our hearts. You know, not something that can be faked or manufactured, but that imprint in our hearts. The Lord speaks to us. We hear him. We respond to him. And he assures us by his spirit in our hearts that we are his children. Do you know that this morning, my friend? Do you know these marks in your life? Is your life characterized by righteousness and love and spiritual reality? Not just religion. These are marks and signs of the children of God. And here's my last one. There is a specific way that all of this comes true for us. The Bible describes a specific way how we can become a child of God. Again, I put three verses up. Here they go. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are, through the love of God. He's done it. This middle one is a prophecy of the high priest Caiaphas. But listen to what it says. Caiaphas prophesied that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation, and not only for that nation, but also for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and make them one. And then the verse we had already from John 1. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. My friend, these are the ways in which we become children of God. We need to know something about these things to be a child of God. Not just to be born human, but you need to know something about the love of the Father towards you. Incredible love that he's lavished on us to make us his adopted children. Have you ever thought about the lengths some people go to adopt their children? Tanya and I were just speaking to some friends of ours 2 weeks ago who adopted two girls from China. The lengths they went to. Massive money. Extreme devastation to their schedules. They travelled halfway around the world. They had to wait for ages. There were cultural blocks. There were forms to fill in. There were all kinds of things they went through, hassle and cost. And they did it twice. But now they have these two beautiful little girls adopted from an orphanage in China where they weren't wanted. Wonderful love. They did all of that because they loved these girls. They cared for them. They knew their date of birth. They knew their name. They knew they had pictures. They fell in love with these girls. And they went through every single obstacle to get them, that they might have a loving family and have parents when they'd had none before. God has gone to greater lengths even than that. He's lavished his love upon us, that we should be called children of God. He's done it all. Through Jesus Christ. And that's the second verse. This is the amazing thing. Jesus dying not just for the Jews. Please don't think Jesus' death was just for the Jews. But for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and make them one. All over the world there were children of God who have been made so through the death of Jesus Christ. Who opened the life gate that all may go in. When we went to register Natasha's birth this week at the registry office, we gave our details. And they checked us out on a register. What was that register? Well, the register was the list of people who had already been born up at the Princess Anne Hospital. And they checked to make sure that we weren't faking it. We hadn't sort of nicked this baby from somebody else, or kind of, you know, knocked you up in a test tube in the back garden or something like that. They checked, and yes, there it was. Female infant of Tatiana Ball. She was on the record. And so because she was on the record, we were able to register her, give her the name, and now we've got a birth certificate. When we stand at the door of heaven, the record will be checked. Have you come through the life gate? Are you on the list of people come through the life gate? The life gate is the death of Jesus Christ. He died to take our sins away. And if our sins are taken away, we can go in and become children of God. He paid for our sins. He took the obstacles away that we might become children of God. What wonderful, wonderful. And this last one, the necessity of receiving and believing in him. Look, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name. Friends, to receive Jesus is to say that he is the Savior that I need, and he's the only Savior. I receive him as my true Savior and the washer of my sins. To then to believe in his name is then to say, I will now take a step of faith and trust in him as my God and as my Lord. And I will follow him for my life. You receive from him, him as your Savior, mercy and grace you don't deserve. You receive and then you respond and you take a step and you believe. And you take a step of trust to say he is my God. God's precious Son to make us the children of God. Friends, there's no greater joy in all the world than that. My joy in the last 10 days has been so overwhelming. I was trying to explain it to one or two people that I've almost felt pain because it's so overwhelming, the joy. And it's still going on after 10 days. I guess it will fade you in the middle of some of those sleepless nights from time to time. But the joy when you become a Christian, mine is still going on 23 years later. Because the joy is so overwhelming. When I got off the bus after being converted on a camp in the summer of 1983, somebody said to my mum, something's happened to your son, his eyes are different. I hadn't got a clue what they were talking about. But there's just something that I couldn't explain, that others couldn't. There was a joy overflowing from my soul that God had redeemed me and I was his child. How had a great joy. Praise God for our children born to our families. We're full of thanksgiving for those. Praise God for spiritual reborn children. Children of God. Who are members of God's family. Will be forever. And have been saved by the precious blood of Jesus. You are somebody's child this morning. You are. You're children of some parents. But are you also, in addition to that, a child of God? Receiving and trusting in him. If you are, your joy will never end. And it is our greatest prayer for these two little babies, that they will be our children and God's children. And it's our prayer for all of us. Let's finish with a prayer. Lord God Almighty, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these clear explanations in the Bible about what it means to be a child of God. Help us not to ever be confused or clouded with our own thinking. But thank you, Lord, for your great love. You are truly a Father who has lavished love upon us. And thank you for that great love that desires us to be in your family. Adopt us, Lord, we pray. Receive us. Cause us to cry out to you in repentance and faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, your precious Son, our Savior, and the life gate through which we can become children of God. Help us as we ponder these things and bless all of our hearts with your grace as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.